And good afternoon. It is a Thursday, September the 28th, 2017, 1:12 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, Eastern Daylight Time, actually. And fall came overnight. We dropped about 20 degrees. It's about 70 here in Marion. So fall has finally fallen here in Marion, Ohio. Now, we are joined via telephone by one of my favorite people. And we're going to talk about a heavy-duty topic right now in the world. The NFL players, their kneeling, the president's take, how it all started, and nobody better to give their opinion on this than a man who has covered the sports world for more than a half century. You probably remember him best on HBO as their boxing analyst for more than two decades. As I said, a good friend of this program, one of my favorite people, Larry Merchant. Larry, how are you?
I'm good. Another perfect day in our paradise in Santa Monica.
Good to hear. Fall never comes to Santa Monica, does it?
Well, it comes, but it's a welcome little break from all the perfection.
Larry, this whole NFL, I'm going to call it a debacle, started about a year ago when one player kneels during the national anthem. When that happened, what did you think?
Well, what I've been thinking about in part is that way back in the day, I recall going to a basketball game involving the Knicks, covering the Knicks as a sports columnist. And that was the day of the Kent State Massacre there in Ohio, when protesters were shot and killed. And I suppose impulsively and with great anger, remembered that I and others simply sat in our seats when the Star Spangled Banner was played. It was a silent, not very well known protest that went on in various places. But the emotion of it is the problem with it, in that Star Spangled Banner, our national anthem, and the flags, which at that time were being burned in public to gain attention to issues about the Vietnam War. They're deeply visceral symbols to all of us. And when you violate the communal attitude about it, you're taking a chance that something bad's going to happen, that even people who are on your side on a particular issue may feel, well, but that flag is my flag and that anthem is my anthem. And I've thought about that, and whether there are other ways to protest that would gain as much attention as the protesters wanted. What else could they do to get on the front page of the newspapers or in the television reports? How the burning of flags created protests against the protesters? Is there something you can do that isn't so obvious to make the political or other points you want to make with a protest? And I don't know the answer to that, but it is visceral on both sides, and I get the feeling that Kaepernick can protest, that he has the right to do that, but I get the feeling also that those who oppose it also have some connection to what is being protested and the means by it. So, but it resonates. Maybe it makes us think of, you know, think of what the protesters want us to think about. And maybe it doesn't have that big of a of an impact. Always, I don't know. You know, the picture of Tommy Smith and John Carlos, the sprinters raising their black-handed fists during the 1968 Olympics, still resonates among some people. Has it had a serious impact beside the fact that they protested? I don't know.
Here's the big conundrum with this, Larry, and this is what I think the word conundrum truly is meant for. The people who are doing it, well, the people who don't like that it's being done, say that the flag represents the soldiers who died for this country. And the side that is doing it say that the flag represents the soldiers who died for this country for the right for me to do this.
True. True that. I don't think anybody seriously questions whether people have the right to protest. I mean, Kaepernick had the right to protest. And there sometimes are serious consequences. In his case, he appears to be blackballed from the NFL. He can't do the thing that he does best. And everyone who follows the sport knows that there aren't 30 or 60 better quarterbacks in pro football than him. So you're putting yourself out there, particularly if you're in a in the atmospherics that people don't want to have to think about, politics, public policy, etc. It's an escape from the reality of our lives. So you understand that you can be upset. But there are things going on in the society that athletes are willing to take those chances when they're in it together. And you have to respect that as well.
When this happened last year, it was news for about, I'll say, a month. It was in the news cycle pretty heavy. And then he no longer had a team to play for. That made the news. And then our president decides to comment last weekend that he doesn't like this, that the NFL should make a rule, and that these people, I'm paraphrasing, of course, that there should be a rule that people have to stand for the national anthem, and that these people are not patriotic. Why do you think the president got involved in this?
Because he sensed that it is a gut issue that some it transcends politics, and that he might win a few supporters for doing that. He has an acute sense of what his followers want to hear, although his followers don't apparently always want to hear what he has to say. If you followed those Alabama senatorial elections the other day, but we live in an age of alternate surreality, I should put it, when star basketball players who have never been known for political awareness are refusing to go to the White House. LeBron James putting it very succinctly, "You bum." So he has a genius, our president, for polarizing all of us and dividing us.
What I could not figure out during the NFL games this week was, were the people kneeling because of the cause that originally started this, which was police brutality against African Americans, or were they kneeling because they just did not like what the president had to say?
I think he's polarized the country, and I find that issue with, I can't remember her name, Hill, from ESPN, Jemele Hill, who called him a white supremacist. Suddenly you have the President of the United States saying that somebody who had an opinion about him should be fired by that network. This is not the way things normally work in our country, but he has a very thin skin and manages to sell criticism of him as criticism of the country and our important symbols.
I have heard it time and time again over the last week, 5 days, that you're taught to stand up for the national anthem. It represents the troops. If you don't support this country, you should leave this country. What exactly does the national anthem mean to you and the significance of standing during it?
Well, it's been deeply embedded in our culture from the time I started going to school at the age of 5, I guess. Saluting the flag was a morning ritual in school. And the national anthem was a ritual at all the ball games I went to and the parades. So it represented my country. And along with other people, I think we have the greatest country in the world. Just as I'm sure that the Frenchmen think they have the greatest country in the world, etc. But it's a way of bonding a vast society together, society with many different points of view and many different regions and their whole worlds to themselves. And these things are binding and bonding. And I have connections to all of that as well as anybody else. But I think in terms of the players, I think they're trying to make a statement that they're with each other, that they support their teammates. And the fact that the owners were supporting the teams was a reflection, many of whom incidentally supported Trump, was a reflection of the owners understanding that they have to be with their players and not against them to achieve their goals.
Something that came to me while I was watching the games on Sunday and Monday. When Kaepernick did this, we all knew why he did it. He told us why he did it.
He supported it with his money.
He did.
Apparently. But also, he's from what I've read, he's never voted.
And we have learned this. Now, what I thought on Sunday and Monday was when the president said what he did, and then the owners and the players decided to do what they were going to do, what dawned on me was, anybody who knows anything about Jehovah's Witness knows that they do not salute the flag, say the Pledge of Allegiance, or stand for the national anthem because they consider that a false idol. They don't do anything with false idols. Now, there has to be a Jehovah's Witness in the NFL, and I'm guessing they do not stand for the national anthem. But their reasoning is different. Does that make them less American? I'm just confused on why. Yeah.
Look, as I said, this is a very diverse country with diverse everything. And if that is a religious belief, then, and it's done quietly and within their own worlds, then I don't think anybody objects because of it is a religious belief. But there are, you know, conflicts and hypocrisies all throughout every system, which is so vast. But I think, as I said, people go to football games in part to get away from the everydayness of life that includes politics, and includes politics more and more these days. So that's not where they expected to be assaulted by personal or professional beliefs systems. So I get it. You know, I mean, it's understandable. But if you want to make a protest, what do you do? Write a book? You join a movement? Well, there are many things that are possible, but if you have that kind of platform and you believe in something strongly enough, and something like Charlottesville happens, and our president seems to be equally disturbed by people who pose as Nazis and Klansmen as he is about the people who protest them, then you galvanize protest, and sometimes it will seep over into the...
Here's the final conundrum in this, and you led into it perfectly there. Charlottesville. This was a big story about a month ago. And we learn that this is all about taking down a statue of Robert E. Lee. Now, Robert E. Lee led an army that burned what we consider the American flag, tried to install the Confederate flag, and tried to secede from the Union. Now, the same people, the same political party, the same president who says those statues should not be taken down, say kneeling is un-American. It seems a little bit hypocritical, maybe?
Well, the whole history of this is being used by people who feel oppressed. And Lee was a guy who tried to break up the country, unlike the founders of the country, some of whom were slave owners, who tried to build the country. But he is still, I suppose, worshipped by many people in the southern region of our country, even though they lost. They've been battling to overturn the result of the Civil War for over 150 years. And to them, it reflects a way of life. And so again, statues are deeply symbolic, and people have visceral responses to them. And sometimes the lines are drawn these days around those statues, and what they symbolize in terms of the power that the white people in the South still maintain over people of color. It's and to destroy that or the flag to them is, or to many of them who are true believers, even if what they believe in is false, something they're willing to fight over.
In the final analysis, something that always strikes me as interesting, Kaepernick is the one who started this now. Of course, we all remember Muhammad Ali during the Vietnam era facing prison time. And if you even go back further, we're talking Jesse Owens and what he did. There's a new documentary out on Jesse Owens in which Albert Speer, who was Hitler's right-hand man, said the thing that made him the angriest during his reign was that Jesse Owens, a black man, came over and beat what he thought was the superior blue-eyed, blonde hair Germans. Why?
Right.
Sports figures. Why? Why is it?
Well, because you're on a big stage. You know, something like that happened in the Joe Louis, the famous Joe Louis Max Schmeling rematch, a couple of years after Jesse Owens won 4 gold medals in Berlin. You know, for Adolf Hitler to be basing his political party on Aryan supremacy, and then having such a large stage as the Olympics in Berlin, and then having a black guy come out and obliterate their best runners in jumpers, was a powerful message and resonated around the world. And certainly in America, and then when Joe Louis knocked out Max Schmeling, I believe it was 1938, and that was another symbolic event of an Aryan, a so-called superior Aryan, against a black man. Joe Louis, to be fair about this, became the first national hero, first black national hero in American history, based on that one round event. So these things assume larger than, even the larger than life shows that they are. And on occasions when we're threatened, when we're marching toward war, when social fractures are starting to break us up.
You know, Larry, I asked that question for this reason. The underlying issue this past weekend that's talked about in corners, not in the forefront, is you make a lot of money, stand up and sing. Muhammad Ali made a lot of money. Joe Louis made money. Jesse Owens made money. Do your job is the opposing viewpoint.
Yeah, well, you know, one of the arguments is, what are you complaining about? This country has allowed you to prosper, become famous, sell a lot of shoes, all that stuff. Well, I think in a way, these athletes who have made a lot of money, and I think Kaepernick got a very big contract after his first couple of successful years at the 49ers. I think it's flattering toward them. It means that, yeah, they made a lot of money, but they still have a connection to where they came from and who they are deep down. And it's not that having a lot of money isn't just about giving some of it to a politician so they'll lower your taxes. They have real feelings and real commitments to some kind of social justice, and this is how this country has marched toward where we are over the centuries. the rich guys aren't all the bad guys.
Final question here, Larry, based upon your great ability to sum up fights and sports situations and social injustices throughout your career off the cuff, when we take Colin Kaepernick, if you were going to write a piece on him today, an unemployed football player because of his beliefs, thinking of Muhammad Ali, who was called an American at times in his life, what's your summation of him now and how he'll be looked at 20 years from now?
Well, I think that an act of individual conscience struck a nerve at a particular moment. Otherwise, we wouldn't be here talking. Otherwise, this, we wouldn't be having the discussion about the fractures that have been magnified and revealed. So sometimes those small symbolic gestures become the subject more than the game. The game of life becomes bigger than the game of football or whatever. So I don't think he had any idea that by doing that thing, that it would become this thing. That one act of defiance would suddenly appear to be representative of the times and of the president we have and of the fractures that have been revealed and so on. You know, just as Ali's defiance and the defiance of the sprinters at the Olympic Games occasionally flash before our eyes or are shown in the newspapers, this is another of those things that will remind us of the times we lived in.
Larry Merchant, the absolute best. Larry, thank you so much.
Thank you, Scott.
Take care. Bye-bye. And we're going to do a quick transition here. We thank Larry Merchant for joining us via telephone and now joining us in studio. It's been a while since he's been in, but Marion resident Ed McCants, former host here on WWGH Radio. Ed, good to see you again.
What's going on, man?
Hey, it's been a while. How have you been?
Everything went great. You know, we had the TBT on ESPN, and, you know, we got a lot of awareness and was just able to create a lot of positive news for the Marion area. So, you know, kind of jumped into the charity aspect of it and just kind of got sucked into a lot of responsibility. And it was becoming impossible to maintain radio, school, and charity, and traveling. So now things are trickled down a little bit. So I'm back with my family here at WWGH. So let's tackle some issues.
Well, I appreciate it. Pull the mic a little closer there. For some reason, we're having a little reverberation.
Good.
That's much better. Okay, well, let's get into it. We just spent 20 minutes with Larry Merchant, close to 30 minutes, on the kneeling issue. We talked about it yesterday. How do you feel about it?
You know, I feel like it's a protected constitutional right. You know, obviously, there's a lot of debate as it pertains to why it's disrespectful, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. I don't really like the condemnation of a protected right. I think that really loses respect for me as far as patriotism goes, if we're going to really, truly dive in and understand what freedom means. I mean, North Korea, the next step is what? To make people stand, which makes us no better than some of these dictator countries. So people got to understand your opinion is teetering on something that's not even constitutional. And then even to see the jersey burnings and stuff is like, now we're resorting to burning. So not only are you going to disrespect the flag and the right for these players to kneel, you're going to hide behind the flag. And as you're hiding behind the flag, you're going to engage in your own protest of something that's not even constitutional. That's called an uprising, is what that's called. And it's kind of a scary thing for me and my family and any African Americans, and for any friends that I have that are Caucasians, to see the president inciting what could turn into a race riot. I call it race baiting. It's when you just throw something out there and, you know, you let people run wild with it. Now, these people now think that the president of the United States is basically their leader in new white supremacy. I mean, and it's bringing new revelations to what it actually means to make America great again.
And again, if you're out there and have a question, feel free to call in. The phone lines are open, 740-383-9944. We don't want to deny you your opportunity to speak about something Larry Merchant said or something Ed is saying, 740-383-9944. Certainly they have the right to protest without being thrown in jail. Nobody's going to be put in jail for this. But do they have the right to do it at their job? That's the question.
Absolutely. The question originally was, does your job have the right to do the Pledge of Allegiance or the National Anthem? Nobody says the Pledge of Allegiance, and nobody has a National Anthem at work, and not one single person that's ever went to work in my 36 years of life have I ever heard it been a big ordeal that, man, why don't our employers play that National Anthem? Our employers aren't patriotic. This is a convenient scapegoat. You know, there's really no riffraff or mumbling about it. The stuff that I do here, it's dismissed quickly.
Here comes a phone call. Go ahead, caller.
What is the...
What was that?
What is the conversation about today?
Well, we just had Larry Merchant on, and we talked some more about the kneeling at the football game, because that went on, and now we've got Ed McCants in studio. Ed, restate your opinion on that again.
As far as
the football players kneeling, it's their job, they should do what they're told.
Oh, yeah. You know, as far as their job, no one else has the National Anthem or the Pledge of Allegiance at their job. No other job requires this, and the NFL didn't require it until 8-9 years ago when they actually paid them to appear more patriotic. So, you know, some of that is taboo as far as, you know, the whole job stuff. It's just convenient scapegoat.
Okay, that's where we are.
Oh, I see. I can't hear you. I'm in Marengo today, so you're kind of out of my area right now.
Well, no, I'm glad you called in. I'm still called in.
Yeah, I actually hail from Marion, but I travel around quite a bit, and so I try to call in every day, and just if I can actually pick you up, I tell you where I'm at when I picked you up. But this morning, unfortunately, being out down in Marengo and Mount Vernon, there's no way that you're reaching out this far. Now, I know about your show. I mean, I call in once in a while, but
unfortunately,
I'm just not listening to you on my radio today.
Well, I understand that. Now, you can pick us up on the internet, on the cell phone. If you download the TuneIn app, which is free, you search WWGH, you can listen anywhere.
Okay.
Yeah, but do you have anything to say? I know we talked a little bit about the kneeling yesterday, but should it be mandatory that NFL players come on the field to do this? I guess that's the topic today. No other job requires you to do the national anthem.
Yeah, well, I don't think that it should be required necessarily, but at the same time, the other antics that they're pulling on the field should be stopped too, because I don't know anybody that could sit there, that would sit there in a factory and be able to burn a flag and still have their job. Even if they didn't believe in holding the national anthem or saying the Pledge of Allegiance, the company would find it in bad taste, and they would, not to mention you start a fire or something, and then they would just fire you.
We get to flag burning? When did that happen?
One of the Seattle Seahawks did that, I believe. I can't think of his name. I'd have to look him up.
Oh, well, you're talking about on something he did on Instagram? Well, certainly that's not what we're talking about on the football field. There certainly isn't teams lining up burning flags every game. We're specifically talking about the flags during the flag ceremony, the players that are kneeling or locking arms, etc.
No, that's exactly what I'm talking about. It's like if you don't want to sit there and put your hand over your heart or salute the flag or whatever, that's your choice. But it's like it's the antics that they have. flags.
Hold on, now you have to.
All of the other nonsense that they're starting to pull now.
Sir, you can't keep associating one incident of a player burning a flag in which he admitted he was wrong. I've already said that he was wrong. We can't lump that in with a silent protest. Burning the flag and a silent protest, they're two different things.
Because that is a form of protest. Unfortunately, it was in bad taste.
So if one person burns a flag, that's the end of the protest? One person burns a flag, they lose all their rights. Everybody loses their right to protest that issue?
Well, if you're working for a for a company like the NFL, I mean, then
the NFL
are taking money from the federal government.
There's never been any flag burning on the NFL field. I'm sure they would have a problem with that.
Be able to burn a flag on the company steps that I work for. Should I work for one?
Now, sir, let me ask.
Because it's my right to do
it. I think you're making that up.
Sir, I want to jump in here for just a second. Now, if you're a teacher and a student sees you having a glass of alcohol outside of school, should that be allowed? Should the school be able to fire you? Because certainly you couldn't drink alcohol when you were teaching.
Okay. One, if he or she is off school grounds, and let me ask this: where would they actually see him? It's like because children aren't allowed in bars.
Well, Applebee's in town has children and a bar.
Oh. So, if she's having he or she is having a glass of alcohol, it's probably she's probably allowed to do that. Now, why has that got to anything to do with what we're talking about?
Because we're talking about what you do off the clock impacting your job. Certainly, if you are on the clock, you should not be allowed to burn a flag or do whatever you're doing. But I think what you were saying was because the football player burned the flag off the clock outside of an NFL stadium on the internet, that if you're employed, you should be able to be fired for that. That's something you cannot do while you're at work. Well, a teacher or a doctor cannot drink at the hospital or at the school. So if they are off the clock and at a restaurant having a drink, should they be able to be fired by their employer?
I don't know if we're talking about firing by the employer, but I mean, this privileged class of NFL football players are actually celebrities, to a point. I mean, aren't they?
Well, I think
they are a privileged class.
What does them being privileged have to do with anything?
It has a lot to do with it, because it's like a lot of people, more people sit there and view them than they would a teacher on having a glass of alcohol in a perfectly legal setting. What they do.
But there's Budweiser commercials during the Super Bowl. I mean, it's not as if it's not advertised.
What's a Budweiser commercial got to do with anything?
Well, I guess let me just sum this up in a certain way, because I don't want to. I would never burn a flag. I don't understand why people burn flags. I don't get that. But, unfortunately, our Constitution does allow you to do that if you want to do it.
Bye-bye.
And I think we lost them. I don't know what happened there.
That dude is going in circles, man.
I mean, I think flag burning is a horrible idea. I don't quite understand that.
That's why I wanted to make it a clear distinction that no one's standing up in the NFL, nor are any owners standing up saying, we condone flag burning. As I mean, it is a right if that's what you choose to do with your flag in your yard and you're not hurting anybody. I guess that's a right that you have. I don't condone it. But to associate that over to the kneeling and just not back off of that, that's one of those disconnects communication-wise I don't understand.
Go ahead, caller.
Yeah, I was just curious what the comment would be on the Pittsburgh Steelers when the coach chastised the Army Ranger for standing for the national anthem and the Steelers coach next day coming out and chastising them.
Coach Tomlin was dead wrong. These are rights we're sitting here telling you that are constitutionally protected.
However anyone wants to exercise that right, I think everyone else in America, if they're truly patriotic and they understand what freedom means, should back off of people's protected rights, regardless of what their stance is, because they're all protected. That's the thing about America, is we don't all have to agree with each other, but I can't start infringing on your right to protest peacefully.
I agree with you 100% on that, and I was wondering, because there's not the outcry against the Steelers for that, and the coach, I hadn't really heard of, death and rinse, the way they been the other way around, and I just, it makes me sick to think that an organization would think any type of person that served in the military and has served the way that guy has, three tours of Desert Storm, it's amazing to think that the Steelers would think, or Thomason would think, that the guy's not going to stand. So I appreciate it. You guys have a good one.
Hey, I appreciate you. Take care. And again, phone lines are open. It is an interesting subject. 740-383-9944. And I think the first caller there, I think we just lost connection because he is out of the area. But if you have an opinion, 740-383-9944. We have about 7 minutes left. And as I was saying, the flag burning thing, I'm not sure. Why do that?
I don't know. I guess it's to show your complete discontent with the country. Like I said, it's nothing that I do personally. I'm not going to burn anything of mine, no matter how upset I am. I got a Kyrie jersey. He just left for Boston. I won't be burning his jersey anytime soon. It's just going to get posted on eBay and sold. That's all.
Why do you think that people were burning their season tickets? They were doing all this sort of thing.
I think it's one of those things progressively where people are just uncomfortable. Obviously, this is honestly the reaction you wanted. And people have said it indirectly, and I don't even think they understand how they sound when they're like, well, it's Sunday afternoon, and I just want to watch some football. I don't want to hear about all these politics. Well, that's kind of why they're choosing that time period, because everyone is sitting down, comfortable in their homes. And now that is when equality can come across your screen in America. So, I mean, it should be something that we're pretty accustomed to. It's not anything we've not seen before.
740-383-9944 is the telephone number if you'd like to call in and weigh in on the subject. Phone lines are open for the next 6 minutes, 740-383-9944. And if the caller who got cut off gets reception back and is listening in some way, call back in, 740-383-9944. You know, there used to be a day in the media that if you did something wrong that people didn't like, they just changed the channel or changed the station or didn't buy the magazine or the newspaper. Now when you do something wrong, they want you shut down.
Mm-hmm.
It's nobody can be around you. Nobody can hear that. Nobody can see that. Differing viewpoints are not there anymore. We don't understand other people. If they don't agree with me, then they can't exist.
Mm-hmm. I've had that a lot on Facebook. Just when I post stuff, usually I typically post stuff about more recovery and psychology things. Since all this started with the kneeling, probably I've lost like 30 people. Probably seen 5 or 6 people that, they don't want to talk about it. And that's why I chalk you up pretty much as, that's where I draw the line for me personally, is when I believe a person is racist, is when you cut off lines of communication and you do not want to hear under any circumstance, you know, what the other opposing view has to say.
Well, I think what we need maybe is some understanding. We don't have to agree with the other side. I don't know any two people who agree on every issue 100% of the time. Nobody does. But at some point, don't we have to understand what the other side is thinking?
And that's what we have to do, is listen to understand. That's what's most important in this, is listening to understand. If I'm going to impose what I believe and I'm not hearing anything that you're saying about how you feel, I'll never get an understanding of how to address it or how to have empathy for, you know, the situation and what you're going through.
Well, my favorite saying has always been, I never learned anything when I was talking. And that's true. If I'm talking, I'm giving you my opinion.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not learning anything about you. I don't know anything about what's going on because I'm too busy talking myself.
Mm-hmm.
So why wouldn't you want diversity? Why wouldn't you want to hear the opinions of other people? Hearing somebody's opinion doesn't make me change mine all the time, but it certainly might if they make a good point.
Well, that's when you have that kind of that racist ideology that appears in this conversation, because you are unwilling to even listen for fear that you may, maybe they'll say something that changes your mind and makes you think differently. And in all honesty, you don't want to think differently. You're dead set on this person's a bad person, or this is my belief about this, and it's, I'm not compromising it.
People are labeled racist a lot now. What in your mind is a racist?
Racist to me is, like I said, just when you feel like your opinion, your beliefs, it's superior to anyone else's. That's why it's kind of asinine for me to see this silent protest, which is a constitutional right, and to legitimately see people engaging against the framework of our Constitution. I'm like, okay, guys, that's really, really infringing. You're kind of teetering that line. And I tell my friends all the time, the only next step to go through here is a civil war. I don't want to do that. I'm sure you don't want to do that. But just when people aren't budging on it and, you know, they're dead set in their beliefs, it's inevitable.
This investigation going on into our president right now, very interesting. If it should be that he should be removed from office, what do you think is going to happen in the country?
Which incident are we talking about with him?
The Mueller investigation, which I guess encompasses a lot of things. But if there's anything in there that is impeachable and removable, if he was removed, what do you think would happen to the country?
I think right now his behavior seems to be consistent with that of expecting removal. So now you want to appeal to your voters, and you want to appeal to your base, so that way when you are removed, there will be a civil war. They will prevent the removal. There will be riots. There will be...
But wouldn't there be riots on the other side? Because I keep saying this. 3 million more people voted for Hillary Clinton. If Mueller finds out that the election was stolen by Russia, aren't those Hillary Clinton supporters going to be furious?
Yeah, but Since when have the Hillary supporters, I know there's all this, the left, the liberals are always marching. When have they done, like, violent protests, though? Like, I really haven't seen those.
Violent, I don't think. But I think that,
There'll be some outrage, which there should be.
I have heard the other day something interesting, and it has not been in the forefront of the news, which doesn't shock me the way the news business runs. But the Russians, it's been proven that, not necessarily that they colluded with Donald Trump, but in 22 states, Russia hacked into the mechanical framework of what was going on in 22 states. And do people realize that electronic voting machines have no paper trails? If Russia did hack into a machine, do you think they'd leave evidence that they did it?
No.
It's awful strange to me, and people keep saying, well, I haven't ever seen that any vote was changed. Well, do you think they'd leave traces of that?
And it was the numbers were extremely close all over the place. Like, it almost systematically went to a certain point and stopped.
Well, Michigan, 2 votes per precinct would have changed Michigan to Hillary. And Pennsylvania, the last time they polled it, she was 11 points ahead and lost it by less people than it takes to fill a football stadium.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. That just is very strange to me.
It is. There's a lot of quirky stuff going on with that whole investigation, and I'm not convinced of the Russia-Donald Trump talk. I think it's a little staged. Yeah, we put sanction on them. Putin's acting mad. I don't know what that means, but seems convenient.
Well,
something happened.
It was good to have you back.
Oh, yeah.
We'll have to do this again sometime soon, and you'll be back with the show soon. And that'll be good as well. But for this day, hope you've enjoyed it. This is Scott Spears heading for the dugout.
One Eleanor Roosevelt's mug on the $10 bill.
Well, and Rosa Parks, and who else?
Won't they airbrush him before they...